Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Lord God, help us to know your ways. Teach us your paths. Lead us into your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation, and for you we wait all day long. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Well, we're continuing along in our wayfarer through the Word. We're in 2 John. I can't believe how close we are. We're just 3 John next Sunday, Jude, and then we're in the book of Revelation in our year and a half long trek through the Scriptures. 2 John is a short letter by New Testament standards, but similar in length to most ancient letters of that period. Church tradition says that the elder mentioned in the greeting that we're about to read is John the Elder, or the Apostle John. What's particularly interesting, though, about this short letter is who the recipients are. The elect lady and her children, we're about to read. Now, many scholars have concluded that this elect lady is not a literal woman and her children, but it is a code word for the church and the members of the church that the Apostle John led. Now, 2 John mentions truth 4 times in 3 verses. So that's a key word in understanding 2 John, truth. But like John's first epistle, you also find love mentioned numerous times. So for John, truth and love, they must always be intersecting one another. Speak the truth in love, love and truth. Now John's flock, as we mentioned last week, was undergoing schism, conflict, division. Not everyone was choosing to walk in the truth or to walk in love. And so there's some strong words as we read this letter. And John does not mince his words. Stay clear of those who deny that Christ was truly human. You see, John was troubled that these, he calls them deceivers and antichrists, that they were teaching that God cannot enter fully into human life, that God somehow is too good for it, God is beyond it. But this contradicted the apostles' teaching and was causing dissension within the community. Now, I love how centuries later, Martin Luther affirmed the full humanity, the full divinity of our very earthy Christ by saying this: Jesus ate, drank, slept, waked. He was weary, sorrowful, rejoicing. He wept. He laughed. He knew hunger. He knew thirst. He knew sweat. He talked. He toiled. He prayed. So that there was no difference between him and any other man, save that he was God and had no sin. So let's hear now from the entirety of John's second epistle. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and in love. I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father. But now, dear lady, I ask you, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Let us love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you've heard it from the beginning. You must walk in it. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Be on your guard, so that you do not lose what you have worked for, but may receive a full reward. Everyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ, but goes beyond it, does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Do not receive into the house or welcome anyone who comes to you and does not bring this teaching. For to welcome is to participate in the evil deeds of such a person. Although I have much to write you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister send you their greetings. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal with certain inalienable rights, wrote the 33-year-old Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence. Under oath, with our palm resting on a Bible, we swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And these words, chiseled from the finger of God upon the two stone tablets that contain the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness. Then in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul encourages us to put on the full armor of God and to buckle up with the belt of truth that holds up the rest of the spiritual armor in place. In the Gospel according to John, Pilate famously asked Jesus, "What is truth?" But he should have asked, "Who is truth?" Jesus had said earlier in the Gospel according to John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He didn't know truth when it was staring at him in the face. Jesus responded to Pilate, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth." Jesus also said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You see, truth is vitally important to the Christian, vitally important to God, vitally important to the functioning of society, and that's the honest to God truth. You see, John emphasizes the importance of truth in a number of ways in our reading this morning. We're to love in the truth. We're to know the truth. We're to live in the truth. We're to walk in the truth, and we are to speak the truth in love. In Lois Teverberg's book, Walking in the Dust of Rabbi Jesus, she writes about the Jewish concept of walking, like our spiritual walk. That is a Jewish concept, and it's found in our scripture reading this morning, our walk. Our walk describes our whole existence, the way that we treat others, in essence, the way that we roll in our day-to-day lives is our walk. I like how Pastor Michael Todd of Transformations Church, he points out, Jesus never runs in the Gospels. He always walks. A steady walk, that is the pace of grace. Jesus didn't strive. Jesus didn't run himself ragged. His walking stride conveyed trust and resolution and focus as he made his way to Jerusalem and the cross. Jesus didn't strive to make things happen. Jesus kept walking in faith and walking in love. Jesus never handed his students a textbook. He didn't ever give them a syllabus. Instead, he beckoned each of them, "Come, follow me." More literally, you could translate Jesus' words as Aerosmith and Run DMC did back in the 80s, "Walk this way." Jesus invited his disciples, "Walk this way, walk after me, follow me on a pilgrimage of faith. We're going to do this together." We're side by side. Jesus traverses the highways and the byways with us every step of the way. We're never alone. Now, When you walk the walk with the rabbi, what you're doing is you're putting skin on truth and love. You see, from this idea of walking developed the well-known Jewish saying, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." Meaning, walk so close behind your rabbi that as you travel together with him from town to town and place to place, the sandy granules kicked up by the rabbi would cling to your clothes. And as you walk close to your rabbi, your heart would change. Now, another similar idea to walking is this Jewish concept of following the Hebrew word, which I like to pronounce, derech. Okay? The Hebrew word derech means road, path, or way. But your derech wasn't a paved road of pavement. Rather, it was the track left by people's footprints. That was your derech. Some paths lead to good places. Others to dark and dangerous places. And so your life is the way. Your life is the path. Your life is the footprints, the derech, that you choose to step into. Jesus bids us to put our feet into his own footprints, to have our paths converge with his way of life and truth. Whose footprints do you follow in? When Jesus says he's the truth, what he's saying is that he is the ultimate reality, that he is the full revelation and manifestation of the living God. The gospel truth for John is that the truth is a wholeness. It's a completion. It's a maturity in all aspects of our human life. Where Jesus, the gospels say, was mighty in word and deed, where he has shown us truth in action, and Jesus has shown us truth in being. So truth is integrity. It's an integrated life. To discover the truth, or better yet, to be discovered by the truth, means that we authentically and genuinely live out of the true love that God has poured in our hearts and then share it with those around us. And by God's grace, when we're jostled and we're bumped, Christ's life spills out of us onto others. Truth lovingly and courageously speaks to reality. It doesn't ignore it, even if it's uncomfortable. The book of Proverbs says this: an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. I don't know about you, but I want to have true friends in my life that are honest with me. A true friend, a true loved one, will at the appropriate time and in the appropriate manner say lovingly, "I think you have an addiction problem," rather than just pretending everything is okay. See, living truthfully, it finds a way of living with others who have different convictions of it, different convictions than we do. On the one hand, we don't act judgmental towards them, right? Because as Christians, we're not supposed to be judgmental. The Bible teaches us that. But then on the other hand, we don't become disloyal to the truth. We're faithful to the truth. And so it's that balance of walking within those. Now, the Greek word that John uses in our passage for love, it's agape. Agape isn't about being head over heels in love with someone. That's a different kind of love. Agape isn't indulging or spoiling someone. Agape isn't a sentimentality. It's not academic theory. Agape doesn't seek to possess the other or to smother the other. Agape, rather, is a resolve to not be bitter and to pray for the other's well-being and to love them, even if they're our enemy. Christians, agape others. But it can't be sloppy agape. God defines what love looks like, and it is spelled out in God's commandments that we obey. Agape is the very basis of Christian living, and it constantly needs to be recalled over and over. Like the mom, the things mom would say to us, they would always bring up to us, brush your teeth, don't forget to wash behind your ears, look both ways before crossing, say please, say thank you, don't take candy from strangers. Children, the Apostle John says, let us love one another. One of the best modern day examples of a person walking in truth and walking in love that I've ever heard is Greg Whitcamper. A few years ago, Greg Whitcamper got the most surprising letter in his mailbox that he ever received in his entire life. It was an invitation to his high school 40-year reunion in Americus, Georgia. Up until that day, Greg had never heard from anyone in his class. He thought they'd be too embarrassed to talk or to see him again. His classmate David Morgan wrote this note in his invitation to the reunion. Greg, I expect you're going to be quite surprised to hear from me. If you remember me at all, it'll be for unpleasant reasons. The message immediately took Greg Whitcamper back to his senior year of high school, and it was the worst year of his life. On the first day of class, Greg rode to campus with four black students to show his support as the school became desegregated that year. A mob threw bricks and rocks at their car. Students spit on Greg, tore up his books, and pushed him down the stairs. They urinated in his locker. A person smashed a sloppy Joe in his face in the cafeteria. Greg got beat up by a group of students, and he stuck out his cheek to be punched again as he still stood up. In one of the letters of confession, a person who witnessed the scene and Greg getting beat up said, Greg, I saw a sermon in you that afternoon. Greg was booed at graduation when his name was read out loud. The yearbook staff typed this caption below Greg's senior picture. He shows his true nature by what he does. So what made Greg so compassionate, so prophetic, so pioneering at a time filled with such prejudice and racism? Jesus. Greg Whitcamper grew up on the Koinonia farm. This was a Christian commune where blacks and whites lived together. This was also the birthplace of Habitat for Humanity. Have you heard of that? Formed by Clarence Jordan. The farm was a target of a KKK terror plan. It was bombed. Guns were shot at children that were playing on the farm. You see, peacemaking isn't cheap. Being a bridge, it's not easy because bridges get walked on and driven over. David Morgan's letter of apology continued to Greg. Throughout the last 40 years, I've thought of you, Greg. I matured and I became more ashamed. And I wish I'd taken a different stance back then. Greg ran into his house and told his wife, something wonderful is happening. The next day, he received three more letters of confession and apology from his classmates. Greg had to sit down by his mailbox, and he cried for 15 minutes straight. He couldn't get up. He eventually received 11 letters. Most of Greg's friends and family said, "Don't go. It's a joke. You're going to be set up again." Greg prayed. He phoned the classmates, and he got into his car and drove 12 hours to his 40th high school reunion. He joked with his wife when they arrived at the Americus high school campus, "We can still go back, honey." When Greg entered the room, they were waiting, and they hugged him, and they cried together, and they prayed. And Greg was honest, told the truth about his hurts with the group. Now, there's still some room for growth in this story. Four African-American students started at America's High School 40 years ago. Only one stuck it out to graduation. And so Greg tracked her down. Robertina Fletcher is her name. She's a pharmacy director over in Houston, Texas. Greg asked her, "Were you invited to the class reunion or any class reunion?" "No," she said sadly, "I've never been invited." We still have room for healing. Healing across racial divides. Healing across relational divides. In Americas, in America, in the church. But the key for continued healing is this, that like Greg Whitcamper, for us to follow in the way of Jesus, walking in truth and walking in love. Then, like Greg, we're going to be truly known by our nature, that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.